I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Ezra Furman, whose new album, Goodbye Small Head, is out May 16th via Bella Union. It's Furman's 10th album and was largely conceived during a difficult period in her life. Informed by illness, frustration, and a general loss of control, the material stands as among some of the most moving and honest material in her discography. Furman spoke with me from her home in Massachusetts about songwriting, creativity, and the connection between both and her faith. That's Ezra Furman on Into Music, coming up now. Are you a weekend person? Like, do weekends mean anything to you?
They mean so much to me. I'm a Shabbat person. I keep the Sabbath. I'm a religious Jew. And the seventh day is like, it's kind of the climax of each week in a spiritual sense. Do I care about Sunday? I don't know. Not as much. People tend to be not as busy, but my child's at home. But yeah, something beautiful happens every Saturday in my world.
Yeah, I just asked because, I don't know, I was just thinking about how so many people ask, like, how was your weekend? And it occurred to me that mine have been so uneventful for like the last 2 years in a completely positive way. You know what I mean? It's just like, I didn't even notice because I was just so much at peace.
Truly, I think it's a beautiful gift of working in certain jobs, like maybe both of our jobs. It's not like so, it doesn't become like this column of freedom that you're desperately clawing toward is for some people who would do the Monday to Friday situation. Don't want to gloat or anything. But then sometimes other things kind of become the weekend. Like there's a Strokes song where they say Monday, Tuesday is my weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I forget which one that is. Taken for a Fool. Anyway, sometimes I've felt that Monday, Tuesday is more the weekend. Especially with touring, it's like feels kind of like that. You know, on tour, you kind of work on the weekends. But not me, since I've been so religious for the past 15, 10 years or something.
Yeah, so you like, you wouldn't be gigging.
Friday nights, no shows. Not since 2014.
Wow,
that's right.
And that's huge business wise.
Oh, it's a problem. It's a serious problem. But part of the landscape of my world. I just demand certain impossible things. That's what I do. I demand impossible things, and then they become possible. It's my spiritual stance.
That's really great. I love that because there are so many times, right, where you have to like compromise in life and that ultimately kind of, I don't know, maybe robs you of happiness or peace of mind or something. So, I mean, good for you for...
Well, I compromise a lot. It's true, but and not everything ever is possible. But some things... you need, and people say, no, that's not possible. And it actually is. It just takes a real shift of the whole framework you're in. So that's like Friday nights. Yeah, Friday nights as a touring musician, no shows on Friday nights. It's insane. That's as crazy as a boy becoming a woman, you know, as she grows up. That's how crazy that is. But yeah, and it turns out it is possible.
Well, I'm happy to be talking to you about the album. Congratulations on this. I just think this is so wonderful. So I was curious about it. It seems to me that, and I think you even kind of alluded to this in what you wrote about the record, that there's just, there isn't like a lot of holding back. It feels like this is just kind of pure expression throughout the album. Was that kind of the case?
Let me think about that. I mean, I think something that's going on here is I'm specifically interested in too much feelings and perceptions that kind of break your mind because, the sense that the truth is actually too big for your mind to hold. And then sometimes it sort of tries to surge in anyway, and you become completely overwhelmed. You know, I had a couple of these songs sort of semi-obliquely about having a seizure, which I don't have seizures, and I've never had a seizure. I have a couple of friends who have them and have told me about having seizures. But what a seizure is like this burst of electricity in the human brain that overwhelms the brain and body. It's like a sudden lightning storm in a brain. And this is like, I feel like for me, life, when I'm paying attention, is almost that. It's just very, I had this impulse to admit here how intense life is, how big it is, how beautiful and frightening it is to be alive. Yeah, so there's like something in this is like touches the reason I make music. I think maybe I make music instead of just writing words. I started out just trying to be a writer on the page. I turned to music because it needed to be bigger than words could say for me. I like how music plays while your life is going on, and you can't really take a break from it. Just happens over you, and you don't control the timing of music. It's just happening in time, in a way that reading is not like that. And yeah, this is something I like about life, that it roars in unstoppable, and you have to deal with that as it goes. Does that make sense? I don't know if that is it. I always It's hard for me to tell how audible that is to on the first time listen to this record, or how close you have to lean in to pick up these themes. But yeah, I was hoping to make a sort of mystical text or an account of different kinds of overwhelm.
Just going with the seizure idea for a second, I mean, people report, coming out of a seizure, there can be a couple of things. One is sometimes there's like a euphoria,
Yes.
or a sense that time has passed without awareness of it, even a prolonged period of time.
Yes.
And I feel like the creative act is very much like that, right? Because you can be writing a song and will have lost hours and also have that surge of euphoria at the end, correct?
Yeah, I think, well, maybe what they most share is like you feel like you've made some kind of contact with an elsewhere. Whether you think of that as just an elsewhere in yourself or like I've been gone, I think that's sometimes the post seizure feeling that's been described to me. Yeah, there's something about there. So a lot of songwriting is work, and it is like using the intellect, and it's annoying or boring, or but that stuff always comes after you've just found something. I feel like I've never written something, yeah, to a creative, an idea seems to come up from some deep pool, or seems to have come from somewhere else, or I just found it. Just found it in my brain among all the trash in there. Or maybe it dropped in. And then you do all this work to honor that thing, or give it a place to live. You build a little tabernacle where it can dwell, a little earthly home for this odd spirit that comes from elsewhere. But yeah, I think I was interested in seizures because like sometimes it feels like the spirit is overwhelming the container for the spirit. And that's sort of the best. That's sort of the best thing That's one of my favorite things that you get from art, where like something that you understand and have domesticated, which is just some music playing in your life, it's suddenly it's too big for your brain, too big for your body, too big for your life. It just spills over the edges and things do not seem ordinary anymore. It's hard to talk about.
Yeah, I know. I know. But I'm gonna press on if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
Do you remember when these kind of these creative impulses like first started presenting themselves?
Like in my, to me as a,
Yeah.
well, the first thing I think of is like at some point when I was a child, listening to music became this kind of spiritual experience, which I don't know. I'm trying to remember my child sense of spirituality because I went to a religious school, like a Jewish, a private Jewish school until I was 13, I think, and through 8th grade. And it was just the furniture of life. You pray every day. It's like, but sometimes in prayer you have a moment of, huh, this is real. Oh, this is real in some way. And then maybe it was like 9 or 10 years old that would start to happen when I was listening to music on headphones in my room. And I got really into this tape I had of the top 10 hits on the Billboard chart of 1961, which I like my dad found a bunch of tapes at a in a bargain bin kind of thing and just gave one to each of his kids. And so I got 1961, which what a year. It's got Del Shannon's Runaway and Runaround Sue by Dion and the Belmonts and these beautiful doo-wop songs. I'm trying to remember some more. But yes, it was listening to that tape. I became kind of obsessed with this tape, and I was like, there's something going on when I listen to this tape at night in my room. I don't know. My heart just flies out the window and starts to really live. And I'm like, this is real. You know, that this is real feeling. And then, yeah, that impulse or that experience started to fuse with my sense that I wanted to write something. And after a while, I had a guitar around and I learned to write a song, and I learned that writing a song is much quicker than writing like a 5-page piece of prose. You could do it more quickly. And I had ADD, so we wanted instant gratification. And yeah, but it was a little later that it became sort of a sense of visitation when writing songs. Like it started as more of a party trick for me. But then I was immersing myself in it so much, thinking about music all the time, thinking about writing all the time. I was 16. I wrote this song called "I Dreamed of Moses," which eventually I put on my first record with a band by Ezra Furman and the Harpoons, available at your local nowhere for the low price of free. And that's the first one I can kind of remember where I just like sat down and wrote this thing and kind of like, what just happened? What, where have I been? Where did those come from? Those lines and those images. And you can hear in the lyrics of that song, you can hear it. I can tell. It's in spiritual language with religious references. And I knew, I don't know. I guess I knew like where God lives in me is the same place where music lives in me. It's just some part of my cute little brain.
That was going to be the next question because I'm not a religious person. Like I was raised Catholic, and going to church was never I never had that solemnity or awareness of being in a holy place or anything like that. I got that through music always and still do. So, but to me, it sounds like for you, those are just interwoven.
Yeah, just it feels like the same part of my brain in some way. I mean, I'm Jewish, and Judaism is like a very, it's an oral tradition. And there, I learned to chant from the Torah when I was like 9 years old or something. And to remember things and run them through your mind and, say the same piece of exalted language over and over. Yeah, these are the same kind of acts, like singing and prayer. There's these like repetitive maps to somewhere else, and you can keep using them, and sometimes they work.
Right. Yeah. That's amazing. It's amazing. So you mentioned like the last 15 years being really this pretty important in terms of your faith. Was that like a reawakening, or was that just like, I have to pay more attention to this just because of how I feel and so forth?
That's a pretty good way to say it. Or like it has a lot in common with me being trans, in that like there's these things that are like so overwhelmingly deeply real for me, and the world has made it clear that it doesn't make sense. I try to explain it, people are mostly like, "What are you talking about?" Or it's, even if there's not that confrontation, it's more just like I stay silent about it because I get a million signals every day that there's something not incorporable about this. This is not how other people are framing the real. And so I just better shut up about it because it gets pretty awkward, it seems. If not, yeah, like almost scary. So, but yeah, it's like at some point, and it's kind of a similar time in my life, just in my 20s, I was like, I cannot just carry this around and shut up about it. This needs to be honored and explored, and I don't even know where these deep things, there's like deep tunnels, and I don't know where they lead. Just keep peering down into them and being like, I guess I just have to know that that's there and not go into it, or just go into, just take a few steps and then run back out. That's what it was, both to like feel like devoted to God and see that my only way really to explore it was through Jewish practice that I had learned and mostly abandoned. And then also this like my feminine future, the happiness that lay beyond some gender constriction, that I was like, there's something over there. There's just something over there, and it feels so much better than what's over here. So yeah, they bubbled up. I could almost describe trying to become a writer and a singer and an artist in the same way, but I got on that earlier because somehow I found a way to make that useful or charming.
You've been listening to a conversation with Ezra Furman. Her new album, Goodbye Small Head, is out May 16th via Bella Union. You can learn more about her via her official website, EzraFurman.com. Our digital producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Golay, and Hugo Fan. Our theme music is composed and performed by Torn Anderson. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, KMUW.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@KMUW.org. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next time.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money podcast from NPR.